Well, good morning again, and so glad that you are here to be with us this morning. We got a lot of ground to cover today. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We started a series last Sunday on the church, right? Why are we here, right? And the importance of why we're here. Why do churches exist? And let me just say this, because I've been thinking a lot about this in preparation to preach this series, and kind of especially this week in thinking about, I don't want to talk about the church too much, because I think there's like this stigma that it's almost like prideful and arrogant if we talk about ourselves, the church, too much. Or if we make the church about something that it's not supposed to be, right? Like the building or the finances or any of those types of things, right? Which I would say that God is honored in all of it, right? Like I would say whatever you're talking about in the house of God, God's honored by all of it. Like if you want to know that, go and read Acts through Revelation. The thing that we've got to realize, and I think we've got to stop excusing for ourselves in the church, is that God talks a lot about his church in Scripture. He talks about finances. He talks about walls. He talks about all of it. How we are to encounter each other, how we're to relate to each other, all of those things. And so just because people have done it wrong before, just because people have focused on the wrong things before, does not mean that we're doing that here today. Did you get me one? I'll see you in my office after service. Because what's happened, and I've been guilty of this, and I was driving last night and repented to the Lord as I was driving, because I have not celebrated and talked about the church enough as a pastor. I have not talked about the bride of Christ enough as a pastor. You know why? Because I didn't want people to think I was worshiping the church. Because I didn't want people to come up and say, "Pastor, I think your focus is off. Pastor, we can't focus too much on the building. Pastor, we can't do this. We can't do that. Go read Corinthians. There is not one thing that Paul does not address with that church in those two letters. Read Paul's writings to Galatia, to Ephesus, to Colossae. Paul hits it all. And so again, just because people before me, before us, have wrecked things, I'm not taking anything away from that, doesn't mean that we can't sit here and celebrate what God is doing in his church, because he gave us the gift of his church. And so let me say to you what I told the Lord last night as I was driving home. I am sorry that I have minimized the power of God's house because of other people's thoughts, because of other people's opinions. The church is important. It is powerful. It is active. And I believe with my whole heart we would do well to celebrate the house of God, the bride of Christ. Sound good? Okay, good. Glad you see it my way. So let me start by asking a question this morning, which if when we read 1 Corinthians 12, it's going to be a moot point, but that's why I'm going to ask the question first. Okay? How many of you, let's raise our hands, okay? Let's raise our hands this morning, okay? Not yet, but when I ask the question, if you feel like this is you, got it? How many of you would say that God has called you to fulfill a role in the body of Christ? Okay, awesome. I see those hands. You can put them down. Awesome. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read verses 18 through 26. Sound good? Good. All right, three of you. All right, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." Now, I want you to recognize the authority of God in the church. You see that? I want you to see the authority of God in his house. All right? That's very important. He says in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go," right? And so we see the authority of God here in his church. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Okay? As he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Verse 24. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed, there's the authority again, right? God has so orchestrated, God has so designed, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. What a beautiful thought. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. God, I pray this morning as we talk about your house, that you be glorified. God, this is your house. We declare it. We claim it. We need it. God, we are not equipped to be the head of your house. You place us where you need us. We are equipped with a gift to serve in your house. But this is your house. Make your way for your house a little more clear to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, he has a role for us, right? He has a role for us in the house, right? And I think here's what we've tried to do in some of the houses, okay? In some of the houses. It would be awesome, right? It would be awesome. Kristen and I talk about this all the time in our house. It would be incredible if our four kids had the same definition of cleanliness and presentableness in our house and in our yard. Amen? It'd be awesome. It'd be great, right? But they don't, right? They don't. It would be awesome if our kids saw our house and our place and our space in the same and through the same lens that we do. But they don't. And I think one of the mistakes that we make in the house, one of the mistakes that we make in the church, is that we, when we're discipling or when we're mentoring, is we want to try to make people see things and do things in the ways that we do because we're awesome. Right? We have this belief that we're better than we really are. I'm not trying to be mean, right? But the scripture talks about this puffed up view of ourselves, right? Humility is super important in the church, okay? And but what we often try to do is that if we're the ear in the church, is it would be great, it would be awesome if everybody was an ear like I am, right? Wrong. Now, I've had to learn this, right? I've had to learn this because as I have grown into a pastor, I've thought, wow, you know, I would just love to have other people that serve the body with the same dedication and passion and gifts that I have. Wouldn't that be awesome? No. I have found that Summit only needs one Travis. Amen? Summit can only handle one Travis. I didn't ask that time for an amen. Okay? Easy. Right? And so we need to take a step back and recognize that the person across the room that sees the world differently, because you're an ear, right? And they're a knee. And granted, that knee might be bone on bone with a lot of bone spurs, a lot of issues, like my right knee, right? They might be a knee that just needs extra care and go see a therapist weekly, right? Like I, for my knee. My emotion, never mind. All right? They may need, but the truth is we need them. You need them. You as the ear need that knee. As messed up as that knee might be, you need them. Some of you are like, as messed up as they might be, right? We need them. And so the point I'm trying to make here is we all have a gift in the body, but it's not the same gift, right? It's not the same gift. And I believe we need to stop, if this is us, if this is preaching to us, we need to stop trying to turn the knees into ears. Because that's not how God created them. That's not what God intended them to be. God intended them to be a knee. God intended them to be a foot. God intended them to be a mouth. God intended them to be. And so whatever God intended them to be, you as the ear set them up for the greatest amount of success to be the part, to be the member that God has called them to be. Don't try to turn them into you. We have enough yous. Okay? Nobody said amen to that. But when we say we have enough Travises, amen. Let's hammer down on this, right? 1 Corinthians 12:7, if we were back up, Paul says, to each is given. Now get this. These aren't going to be on your screen, okay? I added them this morning, okay? But to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, okay? What that means is that the Holy Spirit is made real in and through the person for, get this, the common good. So to each, the person next to you, the person across the room, the person that's not here this morning, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God has a plan for that person to use them by His Holy Spirit for the common good of the body. For the common good of the body. Well, Pastor, I can't see it. You want to know the good news? You don't have to. You don't have to. That does not have to make sense to you. God is the authority in His house, and it makes sense to Him. And that's enough. That's enough. A couple weeks ago, I was coaching a softball game with Micah, and we were out at the softball field, and our other two kids, Bria and Micah, were doing something. And so Kristen got Ezra off the bus, and they went to Beals together. Just the two of them. And they show up at the softball field with Beals. I was hurt. That didn't make sense to me. Why couldn't you wait for all of us to go? Well, it just made sense in the moment for the two of us to go and get Beals. No! Doesn't make me feel good. Does not put Beals in my belly. Right? I didn't get it. Right? It didn't make sense to me, but it was good. It was good for Ezra. It was good for Kristen. Stunk for the rest of us. Right? But it didn't matter. Right? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Look at 1 Corinthians. Don't look. Just listen. 1 Corinthians 12:11. If you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 12, you can see a few of these. All these, everybody say all. I want you to make sure you get this, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let me tell you this, if God has a plan for someone to serve and lead in his church, you can't stop it. He's going to make it happen. I struggle to come to grips with some of his methods for how people serve in the body. I struggle to see how God is, you know, I orchestrating the whole thing. But as I look back, over 24 years of ministry, almost. Got into ministry when I was 16. As I look back over 24 years of ministry, almost. 3 weeks. As I look back over 24 years of ministry, I see how little control I've had. God has orchestrated. Like, I've got relationships with some people in this room. We could not have done this. We couldn't have done this. As we tell the Summit story, God had to be in control of it. God had to be in control of it. He had to. It's amazing. He's orchestrating all of these things. He's empowering each one. 1 Corinthians 12:18, we did read this earlier. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. 1 Corinthians 7:7, I wish, here it is. Nothing new under the sun, as Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, right? We see it right here in 1 Corinthians 7:7. Paul says, I wish that all were as I myself am. I wish that all were as I myself am. But, he says, each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Only let each person lead the life, get this, not that they want to. It's not what Scripture says. Paul tells the church of Corinth, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to them and to which God has called them. This is my rule in all the churches. Paul says, this is a rule in all the churches. Only let each one live the life that God has called to them, that God has assigned to them. Right? 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Listen, that's the purpose of the church. That's the what of the church, is that each and every one of us has been given a gift. The why last week was that we're devoted to each other. Right? The purpose for us is that each one of us has been given a gift by God, the authority of the church, to use. To use. To use. To hide it under a bushel? Come on. To hide it under a bushel? I'm gonna let it shine. Right? We sing this as kids. As long as we can remember, right? To minister to each other, to one another. I want you to look at your neighbor. Say, I need your gift. Even when I don't want it. That's hard, right? I need your gift. Even when I don't want it. Especially, thank you, Josh. I need your gift, especially when I don't want it. So, a couple things here, and then we'll move on. I told you, we got a lot to do. Stop distracting me. Okay. Number one, if Jesus is your Lord. No, we're going to unpack that for just a second. Okay, these are on the screen. If Jesus is your Lord, you have a role in the body. If Jesus is your Lord, notice that qualifier, right? If Jesus is your Lord, you have a role in the body. We say this around here often, and it may not make sense to some of you, okay? Because again, you got years and years and years and years of church baggage. I get it, okay? I get it. You got years and years of church baggage. I understand, right? So we say this all the time. This might not make sense to you. The question that I consider so often as your pastor and try to remind people of so often is, what would it look like if Jesus was the senior pastor of Summit Church? Right? And I believe that. Like, ultimately, reading scripture, thinking about it, Jesus not only is, he's got to be the senior pastor of Summit Church. Got to be. Well, pastor, what does that mean your title is? Don't care. Not Padre. Somebody tried to say that this morning. Not that one. Okay? You're just trying to twist Father, and I don't like it. Okay? Right? But Jesus is the senior pastor of our church. So Jesus is Lord of your life. If Jesus is control of your life, meaning he's in charge of your church life as well, you have a role in the church. Why the qualifier? Because if Jesus is not Lord of your life, you can wreck the whole thing. And that's why I believe we have so much devastation in the church today. Is because what started out with good intention, with Jesus being the center, the Lord of the whole thing, the center of the whole thing, turned because we had to figure out how to keep the momentum. And when we have to figure out how to keep the momentum, you hear what happened there? It became man-dependent and not Jesus-dependent. It became man-dependent, man-empowered, not spirit-empowered. I was sitting around a table a couple weeks ago with a couple people, don't go to church, aren't church, and they were saying, hey, tell us about your church in the last year since you've been in the building. And they were like, how'd this happen? I said, I have no idea. No clue. No clue why God has entrusted us and moved in such a way where we've baptized over 20 people in the last 54 weeks. No clue. Have no idea how we've grown by over 100 people in the last year. Can't explain it. Don't know why they're still coming. No clue. God's got to be in control. And family, hear me, because I know this happens too. And you hear how often I have to qualify this thing, right? That is not a false sense of humility. I have no idea except the fact that the Holy Spirit has to be up to something at Summit Church. And so we got to keep following him. We got to keep trusting him. And so my preaching to you this morning, with you this morning, is that Jesus has got to be Lord of your life, number one, so that you can see the gifting that he has given you for the body in the house to use. Not to sit on. Too many of us have a gift that's been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're sitting on it. We're sitting on it. Use it. Use it. Well, I don't have the authority or the position. Too many people are waiting for some authority or position or something to use the gift to invite somebody else over for dinner. I was listening to a message the other day as I was driving down to Massachusetts because I needed more Jesus into my life as I was driving down to Massachusetts. You get it. And it was to pastors. The message was being preached in Ireland, so I love the accent. And the guy said, so many people come to me and they say, hey, I want to be a pastor. Will you train me? And he said, the question I always ask when someone comes up to me and says they want to be a leader in that church is, who's following you now? Who are you leading now? He said, because I don't want to put anybody in a position without them having already a passion to serve the body. See, the church is so countercultural because we want to place people in leadership because they're great leaders. You know who the greatest leaders are in Scripture? Those who served first. Those who served first. Those who served first. I've got a great story about a toilet brush here, but I can't tell it because I'm running out of time. Number two, the purpose for Jesus giving you a role in the body. We've already talked a lot about this, so we'll move quickly through this one. The purpose for Jesus giving you a role in the body, this is so important, is for the person's good sitting next to you. It's for the person's good sitting next to you. Hear me. That does not necessarily mean the person's happiness sitting next to you. Some of the best good in my life has come from uncomfortable conversations, uncomfortable encounters, conversation of correction, conversation of accountability. And so we got to know the time, the place. We got to know, have I earned the right to be heard? All of those different things, right? I am not saying that as soon as we say amen today and after we share in communion, you should run over and correct and hold accountable to five or six different people in the room. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not giving you permission to do that. I'm just saying sometimes good does not mean pleasure or happy. Amen? That's hard. That's hard. But here's the deal. Family, we got to recognize eternity's at stake with what we're doing here. The greatest good for the person sitting next to you is that they are going to worship Jesus in eternity. And so may we not sit by and be passive with our gift saying, oh, they'll get there. They'll get there. God is giving you a gift for the person's good sitting next to you. That is to point them to Jesus in every way. In every way. Got that? Okay. Flip over to Romans chapter 12. There's four things. Why was I turning on? Oh, because I got a cough. Got it. Romans chapter 12, four things I want to give you that I believe are important as we do this. I want to read verses 1 through 6. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good and acceptable and perfect? Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself, we talked about this earlier, puffed up, right? Not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members. Sounds similar to Corinthians, right? And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of the other. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. He goes on, if serving in our service, the one that teaches, teaching, the one who exhorts in their exhortation. You get the picture, right? I believe there's four things from this passage that I want you to see to be the person that God has called you to be in his house. The what? The what's the purpose? Number one is this: be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful where God has you. Be faithful where God has you. Finish well. Right? Be faithful where God has you. Finish well. Don't sit and think to yourself. Now, I remember someone very wise coming up to me one time when I was just dreaming about anywhere else. Anywhere else. And he came to me and he looked at me and he said, Travis, I want you to know something. The grass is greener on the side that you water. Some of you probably heard that before. There's a lot of different versions of it. Mine's the best. The grass is greener on the side that you water. If you are constantly seeing, because let's be real, okay? If you're constantly seeing the negative parts of your family, never appreciating any piece of it, right? That grass gets pretty brown. If you're constantly sitting in your senior year of high school thinking about next year, all the freedom that you're going to have, the choice whether or not to go to class, because they're not going to call my parents if I don't show up to class next year. They will fail you. Right? If you're just constantly, right? Then you miss out on enjoying and being faithful with the ending of a very long and exciting season of your life. Right? You get the picture. If we do that with church, same thing. Same thing. There have been so often that I've surrounded myself, there's been so often where I've been surrounded as a leader in the church where we've just focused on so many of the negative things, and then somebody comes up to me in Hannaford and they're like, hey, I've heard about your church. Sounds like some incredible things are happening there. I'm like, really? What? Tell me. I need to know now. Right? Because me being the most critical in the room, because I is, right? Sometimes I struggle to see the greatness that is God's hand moving in this place. The grass is greener on the side that you water. Be faithful where you're at. Be faithful where you're at. Don't leave and think, oh, things would be differently if we were at Galilee. They would be. They might be better. Probably. He preaches shorter, I think. Or East Point. Or, like, doesn't, like, the point is, it doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters, what I'm hoping you see here, is what matters is where is God calling you to be right now in this season of your life? And not enough of us think about that when it comes to church, and we think about, where am I being most entertained? Where am I being most, where is it most comfortable? Let me tell you something. The most comfortable place may not be God's place for you. In fact, I would probably say it's not. It's not. Be faithful. Number two, be filled. Be filled. We've talked a lot about the filling here of the Holy Spirit, that each one according to their gifts. Romans 12 says, not be conformed to this world. What is our natural as a nature default? To be conformed to the world. Naturally, we're conformed to the world. That's why it's called a sin nature. Because the moment that we're not continually filled to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit, we naturally conform to the world. That's why it's so important to make sure that we walk into the house with Jesus as Lord. That we walk into the house with Jesus as Lord. You want a test? Let me ask you something. This is a huge test. Highly uncomfortable asking this question, but I think it's important for us all to ask. If Travis Bush was not the pastor of this church, would you still come here? You don't have to answer it out loud. You don't have to. I hope the answer is yes. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be really honest with you. If Travis Bush is not the pastor of this church, I still come here. I love this place. Because like we talked about last Sunday, it is not about anything other than you. And us being a people that glorifies God. And so this morning, when I walked in here and it was like a meat locker, it's shifted to the other end of the spectrum. But it was very cold when I walked in here. I looked at someone and was like, hey, let's meet outside. The people will follow. The people will follow, right? But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has got to be Lord because it's the transforming by the renewing of our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to keep going. Number three, be faithful, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, be flexible. Be flexible. If you want to see this in Scripture, look at Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It's a story of Philip. There's a great story. Philip was one of those seven who was chosen in Acts chapter 6. He was of good reputation. He was faithful. He was full of the Spirit. He was chosen to oversee the ministry. However, he was sent out on his first mission trip, if you will. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. And he was flexible in his ministry. He was moved out, sent on, and then as he leaves, a bunch of successful ministry, successful quote unquote, happens. People were, miracles happened, all kinds of things happened, but what I want you to notice, if you go and read it, I don't have time to unpack it too much here, but Philip's name doesn't even get mentioned. Peter's does. John does. Philip, no. Philip has every opportunity here to be offended, but he gives the glory to God. Why? Because he's flexible. Why is he flexible? Because it's not about him. It's not about him. It's not about him. I say it all the time. I say, God blesses the flexible. It's the greatest, most needed, most overwhelming, powerful thing that we can do is to be flexible. To be flexible. Why? Let me tell you something I believe is very important here. Okay? Who's the authority in the church? God. Right? God. God is the authority in the church. There are things that happen this side of heaven in the church that don't make sense to us. Like as I believe this with all of my heart. If we can make sense, now don't think this is an excuse to be irresponsible because I don't believe it is. But I heard somebody say this early on in my ministry. They said, if you can make sense of everything in your church finances, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. If everything lines up, if everything adds up, if everything, like if all of that's happening, in 2012, we had mold in one of our last buildings. And we were like week to week, like scraping the barrel as a church. There were a couple weeks that year I didn't even get paid. Okay, that's how tight things were financially. And so when we had $23,000 of mold damage, we panicked. Right? I think it was like $22,719. Didn't leave an impact at all. Right? $22,719. Okay? Was like the total bill. We had to get all new doors, flooring, and all of our kids' classrooms, all of that, because the things weren't flashed right and all of that. That's what happens when you let Southerners come up and build a main building. But anyway, hey, it's not the point. Okay? It was a miracle. It was a gift from God. Not negating any of that, right? And so $22,719. So we took up an offering. We did a campaign as a church. You know what we called it? We need $22,000. Clever, creative, right? We did that. You know how much we brought in? $22,819. Like we just said 22. And we brought in $100 more. Ben Pino was there. He was like the finance guy at the time. And he came to me one night. And he's like, God is real. I'm like, I know. How did he reveal it to you? And he showed me the numbers. And I'm like, God's real. It's incredible. You can't make these things up. Right? And so God's going to do things in our midst that aren't going to make sense to us. Let me tell you something. Be okay with it. Get on the ride. Get on the ride. We took the kids to an amusement park one time, and Bria's only caveat was no upside-down roller coasters. Great. We walk in like 2 hours before closing. We thought it was open later, and so Kristen saw the first roller coaster. I'm a roller coaster junkie, and she was like, you guys go get on this roller coaster. I was like, what does it do? She said, it doesn't matter. Just go ride it. Time is of the essence. I get on this roller coaster with Bria. We're going up, and I'm like, oh, no. There were two loops at the bottom of the first drop, and she got off, and she was, like, devastated. But I was like, wasn't it awesome? And she's like, yeah, but it was not what you told me. We're promised in Scripture that it's not going to be what he told us. He even says to Habakkuk, he's like, I'm doing things in your midst that you wouldn't even believe if I told you. So be flexible. Be flexible. Isaiah 55, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth are his thoughts than our thoughts. Now, am I saying that means you're not allowed to get frustrated or disgruntled every once in a while? No, but let's do it together. Right? Like, let's go to God in prayer. God, I don't know what you're doing here. Doesn't really make sense to us. Can you clue us in? Right? Can you clue us in? Because we know that you must be using this season for good somehow, but right now, it doesn't feel that. Right? You see the difference? Instead of tucking our tails and like going in the opposite direction. So be flexible. Be flexible. Make the most of it. Be faithful. Be filled. Be flexible. Lastly, be focused. And again, be focused on the center of the whole thing. Christ. 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 Can I be honest with you? That is half of my sermon. So we're going to stop. And we'll pick it up in 2 weeks. Because I think it's more important for us to come to the table together. I believe God said some things that I wasn't planning to say, but I believe was Spirit-led today. Be faithful. Don't constantly be daydreaming about what something else might look like. I believe more than ever today in 2024, God needs this church to be faithful. Faithful to Him, faithful to His Word, and faithful to one another. Please, as your pastor, I plead with you. Be faithful. Be faithful to what He has called you to. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Be faithful to what He has called you to. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, not emotion. If the Holy Spirit fills you with emotion, awesome. But look at the order. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Need Jesus. Need Him like you need coffee. Need Him like you need your next meal. Need the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading like you need the next thing. Need it. Need it. Be flexible. Recognize that it may not be your plans. It may not be your ideas. But if God's glorified, that's what matters. That's what matters. If God's glorified, nothing else matters. If people are meeting Jesus, if the gospel's being preached, that's what matters. Be focused. Be focused on pleasing, serving, and glorifying Him, not the people around you. I spent way too many years in ministry trying to please the people in front of me than pleasing the one above me. It only leads to one place. Burnout. Exhaustion. Anger. Frustration. Letdown. Because you'll try like crazy. You'll make decisions just to try to keep people happy, and then they're going to leave anyway. And all you're left with Him. And what you have to realize is that He's the one you needed all along, and He's enough. So be focused. Be focused on what God has for you. We're going to finish by inviting you to the table. So I'm going to ask the worship team and those that are going to serve communion to come and take their spots. And here's the deal. As we come to the table this morning, there's a couple things I want to say about communion, and then I'll walk us through this, okay? First thing is this. At Summit Church, we practice an open communion, an open table, meaning you don't have to be a member of Summit Church to come partake in communion with us. okay? As far as kids go, we recognize that there's kids in the room. Parents, we put that trust in you. And so mom, dad, if you feel like you want to bring your kiddos to the table with you, great. Okay, we support that. We trust you and your judgment in that. In a few moments, I'm going to walk us through the elements. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to say amen. The worship team is going to start playing. And as you feel ready, as you do business with God, as you repent of sin, because the Bible says don't drink judgment on yourself. If you have something against someone, run. Actually, it says run. Make that right before you come to the table. All right? If you're not a believer, it says don't come to the table. Again, not to drink judgment on yourself. But in a few moments, as I pray and say amen, the worship team is going to start playing. We invite you. We've got four stations, two in the back, two up front. If you don't feel confident walking and coming to a station, we've got a couple people back there with a bowl of pre-made elements, and they can deliver them right to your seat, concierge style, no tipping. Necessary. Okay? So let's come to the table. On the night that Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he takes a loaf of bread. He breaks it in half, symbolizing what's about to happen to him, the gospel, Jesus going to the cross. Right? He says, "This is my body broken for you." Church family, we just talked about it. Right? We are his body, right? His body broken for us. The gospel, the cross, the crucifixion had to happen for the gift of the church, for the church to be born. Jesus says in John 14, "Hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, why would I have told you? But don't fret. I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come and he's going to guide the whole thing." And if you read the book of Acts, when the church was born and birthed, Acts chapter 2, we looked at it last Sunday, the Holy Spirit drove the whole thing. So this is God's plan being made manifest among his people. But he goes to his disciples and he says, "This is my body broken for you." And so when we take the bread, when we come to the table, it's the picture of the body of Christ. Represents the body of Christ. And I say this often when we do communion, that when I'm holding the bread, when I'm looking at the bread, I'm thinking, he's enough. That the body of Christ on the cross, on my behalf, on your behalf, is enough. We don't need Jesus plus anything. We need Jesus. And so as you come to the table this morning, you take the bread. I want you to remember, I want you to look at it as you're holding it and say to yourself, he's enough for me. He's enough for what's on my plate today. He's enough for me. And he took the cup. He blessed it. He looked at his disciples and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. This is my blood poured out for you." We sing about freedom. We sing about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Christ and his resurrection that makes our freedom in him possible. There's a song I was listening to last night. It was came out in the late 90s. And the chorus of it goes like this. It's almost like a letter from Jesus to his people. Course of it goes like this: "Just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay. Just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay." He paid the price on the cross through his body, through his blood, that we might have salvation in him for eternity. So I'm going to pray for us, and I welcome you to the table this morning. God, today, thank you for your body. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, that we might have life and have it to the full. Thank you for the blood of Christ that washes us white as snow. God, I pray today that we as your people would be faithful, filled with your Spirit, flexible to your moving, and focused on what you have for us. Even as we come to the table this morning, do a work that only you can do in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.